Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
And that can only mean one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast. Catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. For the Jersey Wrecking Crew, I am the trendsetter, Brian Berg, alongside my tag team partner, Jeff Martin. So excited to be presenting another episode of the High Spot Podcast for you guys. Catch us on Facebook, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, any place, social media you can listen
especially on the Twitter.
And on the Twitter as well, at High Spot Podcast. Special guest today. I'm really excited because... You know, not for the mere fact that we met him during WrestleMania weekend as we went to an event called, if you guys haven't heard about it, then you're living under a rock, called WrestlePro. Our good friend Dave Destruction been a part of it and doing great things there too. We were able to have Chris Payne on. And if you guys don't know who Chris Payne is, catch him on Twitter at House of C Payne, as well as his Instagram as well. It's just really great to have him on because I saw him, we've saw him maybe two other events before, Jeff, and to me, the guy can go in the ring. You know, we always like to throw the it factor, but I just, there's something about Chris I think that's very appealing, and for me, seeing him in the ring, you know, he can go, I think, with the best of him. Went toe-to-toe with Tommy Dreamer. This Saturday will be going toe-to-toe, or maybe not toe-to-toe, maybe running around Moose, former TNA two-time.
TNA Impact, Grand Champion.
Grand Champion, exactly. And former, you know, seven-year NFL veteran as well. So it'd be interesting to see that dynamic of that match too. So to have him on and really discuss with him was just a joy.
I know. He had a high-profile match at WrestleCon against Tommy Dreamer, and now he's taking on Moose at, like you said, at WrestlePro this coming Saturday. So listen, man, you're getting this week... two shows for the price of one. You're getting this one interview with Chris Payne, who, again, is a very standout athlete, standout wrestler that we're very happy to have on. You're going to hear from him shortly.
I call him the elite athlete.
The elite athlete, too. And then we've actually came up for moniker for the Summer of Pain, so you'll hear that in the interview, too. But we also got Carly Perez from Lucha Underground, who also joined us this week. So you're getting two shows for the price of one this week on the High Spot Podcast. Who does this for you guys? We do. So, I mean, looking forward to this week's shows. And, of course, we will be there at WrestlePro. I don't know, booing or cheering Chris on? We don't know yet. But depending on
what mood we're in.
Depending on what mood we're into. So we talk about so many things. His potential in the WWE. You know, just how WrestlePro all in all came about. And, of course, you know, just his WrestleMania experience weekend with a, you know, bunch of good guys. But we got to start off first with a very funny story. And just exactly getting to Orlando was just a whole... funny story for Chris Payne, and it starts out with boarding and not having his license. Well, you know, take a listen here on the High Spot Podcast with Chris Payne. All right, we are joined now by Chris Payne. You can follow him on Twitter at House of C Payne. Chris, how you doing, man? How's everything? Welcome to the High Spot Podcast.
Thank you. I am. Everything's good. I'm doing well.
Good. So, listen, I don't want to start out by busting your chops or anything like that, but you got to tell me this WrestleMania experience and trip that you had. You wrestled for WrestlePro at WrestleCon, and you got to tell me the story about the plane, because if you don't know, we're good friends with Dave Sturcio, and he documented like the whole trip on Facebook, and you know, I had seen your expression, you know, in the airplane, and just, you know, everything that happened. You got to share with us first and foremost.
Well, to start the day off, I got dropped off at the airport, and then making my way through security. Everything was fine. I looked down in my wallet. I could not find my ID, and I literally had no idea where it went. I checked every one of my pockets, all my bags. That's the second part of the story. That's another disaster in itself. And I couldn't find it anywhere. So I went down to the terminal, hanging out with the guys, looking for my stuff. Couldn't find it. Went back up security. They didn't find it. They were basically blowing me off. Third time, they lined everybody up to board the plane. I was like, I got to give it one more shot. I need my ID. I need my ID. I go back up there. The guy tells me to wait. So I'm like waiting and waiting. And I'm like, guy, I'm going to get on the plane soon. Did anybody find an ID? And he comes over like all nonchalant, like, oh yeah, we got one right here. And sure enough, that was my ID. So, oh, yep. So and, now we yeah. get on, and of course I'm boarding group five, so that's like last, and I am the very first person that they tell has to check their boarding their carry-on bag, and I purposely packed my carry-on bag with my wrestling stuff. God forbid my regular luggage ended up in like Chattanooga, so somehow because it's happened in the past. Not fun. So I'm like, ma'am, I'm like, this is my work bag. Like, I need this for work. Like, this is the reason why I packed this bag. And she's like, I'm sorry, you have to take out whatever you need on the plane right before you get on. I'm like, okay, so you basically want me to change into my wrestling outfit and walk around your plane in underwear. And she's like, if you're going to have to do that, then yes, that's what you're going to have to do. And I just, like, gave her this, like, glazed over, like, are you kidding me look. So then they took my bag, put it down below. Luckily, it made it to Orlando, and there were no problems with that.
Chris, did you go United Airlines?
Okay. No, definitely not United.
Oh, okay, so then you know you don't have to worry about being overbooked.
Exactly. So, wow. Hey, hold on. What the hell did I fly? It might have been United.
I think you.
Hold on.
He's hey, check did you fly United? Florida.
Oh wait, it was United.
Yeah,
it was
like, okay, that's you weren't overbooked.
No, it definitely was United.
Oh
but,
my god.
Yeah, no. So.
So much for the friendly skies, Chris.
What?
So much for the friendly skies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But Chris, you know,
the best part was I got on the plane and there was like five overhead compartments that had nothing in them. Oh. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. Oh. I don't know if I can curse. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, you can. We should have let that known ahead of time. Yes, don't worry about it. If something should somehow, you know, somehow pop out an F-bomb, don't worry about it. We won't judge here.
Right,
we don't
cool.
judge on the show.
Cool.
But, you know, it's just a crazy, crazy experience. I mean, obviously, those are the ones you wish never happened. But, again, you'll never forget. And I'm sure you never forgot, although it's like 3-4 weeks away from now, and we're all kind of getting over the hangover WrestleMania weekend.
I still have Orlando hangover.
Jeff just misses Orlando and wishes he was still there trying to get out of this nasty weather that win. But what a great match you had there with Tommy Dreamer. And just
thank
speaking
you.
Of that, there's going to be another event coming this Saturday, April 29th. Russell Pro will be invading Sayreville as well as the Jersey Wrecking Crew. And just want to get your take on something like that, the expectation that goes into it. Because, you know, as much as this is something you do every day and you enjoy doing it as much as you can, what keeps you kind of motivated or like amped up for nights like this?
For Sayreville? For Stalland?
Yeah, for Moose, man.
It's just, you know, never letting go of the dream, always chasing it. It's what I want to do. It's something I feel like I was put on this earth to do. Like, I literally live and breathe wrestling. I go to my shoot job and they're telling me all the time, can you please shut up about wrestling? And I'm like, I can't because I don't want to be here. Like, yeah. That is what I want to do. I don't want to be in a car with you guys. So, I mean, I just, you know, not giving up, really, like, when I was younger, I always thought, like, you know, oh, it'd be impossible to get there. I didn't even know how back in the day, like, somebody ever got, like, picked up by WWE or Impact. And I always thought it was like, oh, some weightlifter saw another weightlifter. And, like, they like, hey, I know a wrestling guy. And that's how it was. And then I got a little, you know, smarted up to it. And then when I started doing it and realizing who I was in locker rooms with and who was watching what, I realized, wow, this actually could be a possibility. And I had a taste of it in Orlando this past August when I was an extra for NXT. And then I had a tryout last year and realized, like, the dream is not that far off. Like, you know, you got to keep grinding and keep pushing and try and make yourself better than the next guy to stand out a little bit. And that's basically what it is for me. I'm not giving up.
And you, so. you talk about the NXT, you know, you talk about the tryouts and everything. Is everything they say it is where they work you till you know where they try to get the best out of the best? Is it everything as intense as they say it is?
It's very intense, and they look to see who can follow instructions, who listens. If you do screw something up, how quickly you can correct it without having to be told 7,000 times. They want to see who can actually knock it out of the park without having any problems and stuff like that. But it's pretty rigorous. I mean, like, the 3 days I was down there, like, they expected you to never give up. And, you know, if it's something that you want, you're not going to show any type of, like, weakness or any type of fatigue or anything like that. You're just going to keep grinding and get through it. But it's definitely what it's chalked up to be as far as, like, the toughness of it, like, mentally and physically. So,
nah, definitely, Chris. There's no doubt it's a really rigorous process they put you through. My question I've always been interested in is that, you know, I try to keep in good shape, and I admire, obviously, the work you do. I've said the same thing to Dave and other people we've had on the show. I mean, most people look at it and think, oh, wow, I can do this. I mean, if everybody could do it, then they would do it, right? I want to talk to you
Absolutely.
About the conditioning. I mean, I see you, you're in tremendous shape every single time I see you in the ring. So my thing is, what do you do to best prepare yourself? There's nothing you can do, obviously, to mimic it, but what do you do possibly to keep yourself in shape so that when you do go in the ring and perform, you're not blown up?
I honestly, when I first started wrestling, like, I thought I was in decent shape, and then I looked at some pictures, and I was like, oh, wow, you are horrendous. So, and I worked out, like, you know, I was like a normal guy. I'd go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week, and then, you know, I never really paid attention to what I was doing. I always thought I did, but never really was. And then it wasn't until I started talking to other people is when I really started to, like, pick it up a little bit. And then if you're not willing to read and better yourself with what you're doing, then you're not going to make changes. And that's really what I had to do. And then it also helps that I've been going to Joe DeFranco's training, Triple H's personal trainer. So, like, my trainer is Cameron Jossi, and Joss. And I work out with him 4 days a week. And when I'm not with him, I'm at my shitty retro fitness gym that gets me a pump.
So, yeah, of course, the commercial.
I mean, I'm doing everything. I'm getting, I don't want to say I'm getting up there in age, because I don't really feel like I'm old. Even though my number is 35, I don't really feel like I'm old. So I'm doing everything that I can to keep that shape and make sure that I'm bettering myself every time out there. And I'm in better shape now than I was when I was 30 when I first started wrestling. And it's just because I'm sticking to the game plan. I'm eating correctly. I'm finding out what's good for my body. And, you know, just learning what I'm doing that really, learning what really helps better my body. So it's a better time in the gym, and I'm not wasting my time there.
You have to be a little more positive now when you see guys like Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura and, of course, AJ Styles. You know, they're, you know, mid-30s, late-30s, and now you see that there's a change in philosophy in WWE. You know, so that's also good to know. You know, size up Moose. You've had two profile matches now with Tommy Dreamer, now Moose from TNA, former TNA Grand Champion. You know, size up Moose for me for this Saturday.
He's a big dude, a lot more slick than I originally had thought, because I really hadn't seen much footage of him. I just knew that he was with Ring of Honor and doing some indie stuff. I really didn't watch a lot of him, but then I have, you know, not just because I'm wrestling him, but I pay attention to the indies too. So I watch matches and stuff like that, and the guy can really move and put solid work together. So very excited for that. I mean, former NFL guy, so he's a big dude. I'm no schlub. I'm 6'2", 200 plus. So, I mean, I'm ready to go in there and, you know, just battle it out and have, like, a big man contest. Not that I'm big. I'm just saying. But, you know, I really think it's going to be hard hitting. You know, a lot less flippy dudes and more mat stuff, more hard stuff.
Well, definitely. We're looking forward to that. And, you know, not kissing your butt here, Chris, but every single time Jeff and I have been able to go to a WrestlePro event, you've just knocked it out of the park with your effort.
You stand out, Chris. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the talent, and everyone's talented there. We'll get to WrestlePro in a bit, but, you know, definitely you stand out. You have, you know, that look. So definitely when we go there, you're definitely, like, one of the people we check out, because, you know, you're in a higher profile match.
Stop
and
kissing
and
his butt, Joe,
I'm not
seriously.
Trying to on purpose, but, you know, definitely
no, keep it up. Go ahead.
He's like, keep talking.
Just keep talking.
We're rolling, right?
I get it, exactly. No. It's definitely true. I hate to agree with Jeff because I think he's a stupid idiot, but I definitely agree with him in that respect. But, Chris, I was just curious, too. I mean, you had mentioned before how it's just something you always enjoyed and loved. I mean, Jeff and I are huge fans. That's why we do this podcast. We love having people that have the same passion for wrestling that we do. Obviously, you're in it. What started that passion for you? Where do you remember? What was your first? Was it a first wrestling event? Was it watching your first televised event on TV? What gave you that itch when you first saw it and you said, "That's what I want to do when I grow up"?
It had to be a live event that my dad took me to. I was like 9 years old. I want to say nine. I'm ballparking it, but I always use nine as my number.
Okay.
Literally was at the. It was the Brendan Byrne Arena at the time,
oh, yes.
Which then changed over to the Continental Airlines Arena, which was then the IZOD, which I don't even think exists anymore. It's there, but no one uses it. And Tito Santana was the very first person that ever gave me a high five. And then from that point on, that was the moment that I felt like, you know, this is something that, like, this is it. This is awesome. Definitely would love to be in front of a crowd.
Who was your guy? Who was you talk about the moment, but who was the guy either you try to emulate or who's the guy that got you hooked on it? Was it Tito or was it maybe? I figured
no,
you were Shawn Michaels.
Not
guy.
Tito, not Shawn Michaels. And like I said, I'm a little older, so I have an older soul. And Macho Man was my guy. I love Macho Man.
Me too.
Macho Man, Macho all day long.
If you didn't take one of those, you know, your bedroom sheets or something, put it over you and, you know, buy those 80s glasses, then that was me.
And get the tape on your hands.
That was me.
I still have the 80s glasses. Macho paraphernalia. It's disturbing.
You know, and I tried to put like those stickers on my glasses like he had, and then I couldn't see crap. And I was wondering
Extremely
hard to see, exactly. I mean, Chris, that being said, saying that Tito Santana, you know, slapped you in the hand, gave you a high five, gave you that little itch too, and now Macho Man being somebody you idolized growing up as a kid. Looking at the genre now of professional wrestling, how much of a change do you think it is now? I mean, for example, social media being the way it is now. I mean, back then, watching it in the 90s, like Jeff and I enjoyed watching that, trying to date ourselves, Chris, but that's when we watched it back then. And now everything being so accessible with talent being out there and having social media and things of that nature. Do you feel like kayfabe has been broken in a good way for the business or in a bad way for the business?
I think it can go both ways.
Wait, you're talking about...
Sometimes...
Wait, you're talking about what the topic, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to go there.
Yeah, no, I think it can go both ways. Like, the mystique back in the days was always like, you know, oh my God, they really hate each other? Like, what's the deal? And then, like, you see it happening. You're like, oh, yeah, they're friends. This is great. And then now it's just like, you know, you see what it is. It's people are friends, but then they hate each other in the ring.
You
and
play
then
the heel, right?
Who's hugging and kissing in the ring afterwards? It's you know, it's just... It is what it is. I don't know. I think, in my opinion, I wish there was more of it, like more mystique. But, you know, I don't think it's hurting in any way. I think that wrestling is booming now more than ever, especially on the indies. Like, I mean, there is always at least 3 shows running somewhere that you can go check out.
Chris, you play the heel, and you got to answer this for me. What's better and easier for you? Do you like playing the heel or do you like playing babyface?
I would honestly like to play a better heel. Being a babyface, you can get all the cool moves in and you just have to look at the crowd and like put your hands up and say, let's go or come on. And like, you know, if you do the move good, people can react and will react. If you look the part, if you have the right gear, if you have a decent looking body, the crowd will react to you, especially if you're doing cool moves. The heel part of it, I feel like is, you really, really got to dig and make it your own. And I'm talking in circles right now. I just feel like heel work, you have to put a lot more into to get a reaction out of people. And especially if you got a specific heel and you're not playing up to that part, it's gonna be a hard get a reaction out of somebody. They might just hate you because they hate you because you suck, not because you're playing that character great.
Not very true there. And, you know, the thing I've always believed in, and again, maybe you can confirm this since you are a performer, you go out there in the ring. To me, to get any type of reaction is a positive, whether it be a boos or cheers, because ultimately you don't want to hear crickets when you walk out there. So my question to you, Chris, would be, you know, where you've started and where you are at this point right now, which you're going to be performing recently right now, it's going to be at WrestlePro on April 29th. How much of your character development would you say is all on you, or do you go to certain promoters, certain people you have confidence in and confide in for certain ideas? Or is everything that you come up with really all on your own type of thing? Where does that development come from in terms of your character?
As far as my character now, like I'm playing, like, you know, my background is police military. So like mostly my character portrays like the cop who went to the bad side. But if I have an idea, I'll shoot it by them, see what they say, see if it makes sense. And then if they have something, they shoot it my way too. So, but a lot of the character of me is coming from me, but I will, I'm always open to suggestions and stuff like that from other people to see how that plays off. The hardest part that I'm finding right now with my character in present day is that I am a shoot police officer in real life. So, and I'm in the NYPD. So it's extremely hard for me to try and get a chokehold on my character, because if I step out of the box too much, I'm not worried about the crowd reaction. If the crowd reaction was phenomenal because I played it well, that's awesome. But I might wake up on Monday morning and get told, hey, the boss wants to see you in the office because they've had a problem with what you did on the weekend. And so, it's really hard. It's a really fine line for me to walk on. So sometimes, you know, I'll get into it with the crowd, and it's like the way I'm flowing that night, and it's like, you know, okay, you know I'm a dick. You know I'm a dick cop. That's great. But I went just enough where I got a positive reaction from the crowd where I did my job. But then there are other times where it's a little bit tougher because I haven't really clicked with the crowd, and I can't, you know, I'm not going to go out there and be like, hey, should I choke him? You know what I mean? Like, that would just be like borderline, hey, I might get in trouble the next day at work.
One of the promoters, you talk about having dialogue with the promoters. One of them is Pat Buck and WrestlePro. Just talk about WrestlePro, man. It, like, the first impression I get of it, like, we went to the one in Rahway, and, you know, it's, I mean, he really puts a lot into it. Talk about a little bit about Pat and WrestlePro and the future and where it's headed.
Pat's been great. I mean, I've experienced three other schools over my life, and I was 17. Started a school, stopped. 19, started a school, stopped. Went to the military, came back, 25, tried to look at a school. I won't mention which one. I was there for an hour, took my money back, and walked out because it was such a shithole. Pat literally has, from day one, been hands-on. He has pushed me farther than I thought I could ever get as far as being a performer. And there's still so much more to learn. And he really just, like, being at WrestlePro gives you a platform to, like, really showcase what you can do as a wrestler, and they only want the best for you. Pat's really trying to, like, he's really got something good at WrestlePro as far as, like, the students in the school and the company as a promotion. And it's such a great place to be and work at because we're all pretty close. Like, you know, we can all, you know, I'm married. I can pick the phone up and call anybody, and they'll be like, hey, let's go get food or whatever. And it's like that type of environment that has made it so great. And as far as WrestlePro as a company, like the way that he's developing wrestlers and people into their characters, I mean, I think it's second to none as far as, like, if you put everything together as a whole, like, he's really doing everything correct. And it's just, it's fun to work at, and it's been a blessing.
I mean, you got great video guys. You have, like, the ring. You have the entrance ramp. And you know what? Like, when you have that feeling, when you're surrounded by, like, you know, it's very professional, you're going to have that feeling that it's professional, and it's going to boost up morale. So, yeah, very top-notch goes on over there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody pitches in any way they can at all times. I mean, when you walk into Rahway, you don't think, like, you're just going to walk into a gym and, like, a curtain hanging. I mean, like you said, we have the stage, the truss, we have our overhead light, we have the banners. It looks very professional and very well done, and everyone contributes in any way they can. Some guys might not be hands-on, and they might just be better at social media or vice versa, and everyone pitches in wherever they can, and it really puts out a really, really good product.
Talking to Chris Payne here. If you guys want to catch him on Twitter, it's House of C Payne. I love that. That Twitter handle is really creative there by Chris, and I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Chris. Question I want to ask you in terms of the altercation with interaction with Pat. How did that come about? And basically, you know, what was the first feeling like when you were going and basically selling yourself where you wanted to go to a promoter and say, hey, listen, can you book me on? Can you talk about those two experiences? First, trying to get booked to your first ever show, and then your interaction of how you first met Pat.
I'll start with Pat. I literally was going like a mark, but we all are. That's why we love the business.
Exactly.
I was going to beat Hogan, and I'm a huge belt mark. Love wrestling belts. So I bought a belt from a kid, and he told me that he was a vendor at one of the.
Did you buy it or did you take it from him?
What happened?
Did you buy it or did you actually take it from the kid?
He took it.
I'm kind of, you know, I'm a cop. Give me a shit. No, so he told me he was a vendor at PWS at the time. And he told me that this guy Pat had a school. So I Googled the website, checked it out, said it had a school, looked at the hours. And I went down one day just to go see what it was all about. I met Pat. I told him I was coming back from a wedding in a week and then I would start up. And then the rest is history. I've been with him. I think I was like the second, like, it was like a month after the school had opened. I was signed up with Pat and then just hitting the ground running from there. And then, you know, I had some prior experience from other wrestling schools, so I caught on quicker than other guys did. And, you know, the rest is history with PWS transitioning into a WrestlePro. And then, I don't even remember what my first booking was outside. Oh, no, I do. I'm not going to mention the company. But it was basically, hey, I'm with WrestlePro looking for a spot. And they're like, yeah, sure. And then after that, it's, you know, it is what it is. You hit people up, they say yes. Some people say no. So I was just, you know, hitting that Facebook Messenger up hard, brother, trying to get people to book you.
We talked about Moose and WrestlePro, and you got great things going on over there. Talk about your experience for WrestleMania weekend, WrestleCon. How was that, your first time, doing something like that? Just what was the feeling? That was something that we went to. We went to your show again. We saw you and Tom and Dreamer. That was also something. That was also something top notch, man. That was not just like some rindig place. You know, we went to it was the Wyndham, and we're walking looking for this place. I'm like, okay, where is this? And you go in there, and again, top notch.
Yeah, definitely. It was my first WrestleCon. My first big convention or any type of wrestling event that was of that stature, where like they had nothing but wrestling for 5 days. And me and the boys were just walking around, and we were like, let's go check out the venue. Let's go check out the hall. And we went in there, and I had no idea that production was going to be like that, with the lights and the truss overhead and the stage like that and the screens. And it was something nice to see, because it was like, all right, you know what? This is like another step in the right direction of where you want to be as far as your career goes. And, you know, leading up to everything, I thought it was fantastic. So many fans. And then, like, you're surprised by who actually knows you. And, you know, it was just overall a great experience. I had so much fun. And I'm glad that we were able to kick it off, and then going almost 19 with Tommy. In a false count anywhere match was pretty cool.
And they went everywhere. They did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went everywhere.
They went to the bleachers. They went to the bathroom. They went. I'm joking. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I felt like Stone Cold after that match. I got hit with so many beers.
Oh yeah, exactly. Wow. But what an honor to be hit with beers from Tommy Dreamer. I mean, you're right. It was an exciting event. A great time to be a wrestling fan. Even going to WrestleCon as well, and just marking out in front of, you know, every which way. Jeff was fanboying all over the place. I'm sure yourself, Chris, were doing that too. Talking about, this is, you know, the proper steps of where you want to go in your career. My question to you is WWE on your radar? Is that something in terms of that's the goal, you want to reach that point? Or are you happy right now and content with where you are?
I'm definitely not happy and content where I am. I love where I'm at, but the end goal is to be in WWE, and they are on my radar. I don't know if I'm on their radar. But again, it all goes back to that. For me, it goes, because I've already been down there once, and they gave me an answer that I did not like, and it had nothing to do with my abilities. It was more about an age thing. And I just think that the timing that I was down there, not to say that I would have got a job if it wasn't the timing, I just think that the timing that I was down there was like the time when they were getting ready to do 205 Live, and they hadn't really done anything as far as, like, you know, room on the roster for NXT or anything like that. And I got pitched an answer that was, you know, you're really a little bit older than what we're looking for, and there were younger guys full of piss and vinegar. That was the exact statement. Then I was timid, and I did not respond back with, you know, what I want to say now. But it's just like, I got told no, but that lit a fire under me more to want to get back. And like you said earlier, we touched on Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and guys like that being of their age, and, you know, bringing them in. I will say this. Those guys are a little bit older than me, maybe the same age. And the reason why it looks like they're taking guys that are older than me, they also have a 10 to 15 year background resume that says that they can go right into WWE and do that. For me, I say I'm 35, but I also don't have the wear and tear on my body that some of these guys do that they're bringing in to give contracts to and push and stuff like that. And I'm not comparing myself to those guys by any means. Those guys have done a lot more than I have. But I also don't have the wear and tear. I take care of myself. Like, if you told me tomorrow, move down to Florida, my wife and I are picking up, we're going to Florida, my wife will be fine. She's a doctor. She'll pick up a job anywhere. You get me down there, I'm going to be busting my ass every single day. I'll be doing exactly what I need to be doing. I'll be in the gym, and I'll be in the ring. And And you're not going to get less than 110% from me, because at that point I won't have my real job now, and I'll be able to devote 110% into that. So you can tell me that I'm old all day long, and I'm going to tell you to go fuck yourself, because I don't believe that my age has anything to do with the type of drive that I have to make it in this business.
Oh, I can sense the fire in Chris.
Look at
right
that.
Now.
See, Chris, man.
See, you're
that,
firing me up that, right now.
That's what seems.
That's what we want to see. I can't wait. Yo, if you're this way now, Moose is in trouble this Saturday, man. Yeah. Seriously, because he's got no
chance. Damn right.
Whatsoever.
The guy comes from a fucking forest, and they all cheer for him.
You just said something that I found really interesting, and your wife must be a keeper. That is a great support system if she will literally pack up and follow you anywhere. Kudos to you. Congratulations on that.
Plus the fact that she's a doctor, too, so any bumps and bruises you have, she'll take care of, right?
He's a thinker, man. He's planning.
She could take care of me if I get hurt, because she knows I'm paying the bills. And on top of that, the move is easy because there's son.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You talk about going back to WrestlePro. You have current wrestlers there that have had success. They've currently signed on with TNA and Mario Bakara, Kevin Matthews, Fala Ba. You know, talk about them for a second, and tell them, you know, just how hard they've worked to get where they are, and then end it with saying, would TNA be an option for you? That's something that could definitely be on your radar.
Yeah, no.
Well, Impact, I apologize.
Definitely, yeah. If they come knocking at my door, or if they answer one of my emails and said, hey, come on in, I absolutely would entertain that all day long. That's you know, Impact is number two, right? So why not? But there's no reason why I would not entertain anything that would come my way from them. As far as Kevin and Mario and Fowler getting signed, those guys, you've seen them firsthand. Those guys can go. And Kevin's been busting his ass for a long time now, and he's definitely earned his spot there. Mario and Fowler. I wrestle Fowler. He's one of the easiest guys to get in the ring with and go with. And the guy can move for a man of his size. And they're just tremendous, tremendous athletes and entertainers and workers. And, you know, having them down there on that roster is nothing but a blessing for Impact. Like, having those guys is going to be that's good for them. That's only going to help them with their brand, because those guys are absolute workhorses. And I have nothing but praise for those guys. All of them have helped me in one way or another in my career. And I've been in the ring with all three of them. And I have nothing but great things for those guys, great things to say about those guys, and hope that they, you know, keep the dream alive with themselves and stay there and do good things.
Talking to Chris Payne here. You guys can see him on April 29th, this coming Saturday at WrestlePro at the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey. Really looking forward to that event. But also looking forward to is that, you know, somebody that, you know, I mean, you were talking before, Chris, about how the mere fact that when you went for your tryout, you were told something you didn't want to hear, and it was basically an age thing, being 35 years old, which is not old in a lot of people's minds, but when you talk about professional wrestling, I'm sure people would kind of be drawn against it. But somebody that will be there too will be Diamond Dallas Page. And, you know, he's the perfect example of a guy who started very late in his career, supposedly, right? Now is a WWE Hall of Famer. And he was the kind of guy,
wasn't
too.
Wasn't he 36 when he started?
Yeah,
and
35,
then 40?
36, you know. And he had the same mentality, too, where, like, he wasn't going to be told otherwise. Although he started late, he didn't use that to detract him. I'm not trying to compare your stories, but from, you know, listening to you talk and the passion you have, obviously, for the business and your dream, it doesn't look like that's going to stop you either. Are you looking forward to – have you met Diamond Dallas Page before? Are you looking forward to talking to him and maybe getting some words of wisdom from, like, his journey and what he did?
Yeah, I actually have met Diamond Dallas Page a few times. I'm not one to I'm absolutely going to try and talk to him this time around, because I know where my head's at, and I know I'm on the right track right now, and I'm starting to pick up more bookings and stuff like that. So I definitely want to get in his head and find out what pushed him to get to that next level. But I've, in the past, I have seen him, and I've never been one to, like, you know, and it's my own fault. I should have pulled him aside and asked him earlier, and a couple of other guys too. I'm just not the guy to be like, hey man, what's going on? You got a minute? And I've just never been like that, because I know that they're there and they're doing their thing and they're trying to make some money too. And I don't know. I just felt like sometimes it's just, like, a little bit out of place to, like, say something to them. But then at the same time, when are you going to grab them? Like, they're not picking up the phone on a Thursday and talking to you. So,
I mean, you're right. You can win or lose, right? He's there.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I got to talk to him. But then that party is like, I'm not going to bother him. I don't want him to be like, who's this? You know what I mean? But you got to
do it,
man. Here's a funny story about Diamond, right? We had Barry Blaustein on, who was the director of Beyond the Mat. And he started negotiating first with WCW. And then he's at the power plant. Diamond Dallas Page is just starting up and everything. And then all of a sudden, the first guy that approaches him is DDP. And he goes, hey, listen, I want to be in your thing. No matter what it is, I want to do it. So the story there is, you know, he did it. He mustered enough, you know, I guess, you know, we had the balls enough to go up to him and tell him, hey, listen, I want to be a part of it. Now, he did, they ended up doing WWF, WWE, but, you know, you got to do it. And that's one thing that we're learning doing the podcast is that if you don't do it, then it's never going to happen. You got to go and make it on your own.
I felt the same way when I went up to Chris in Orlando, and I went up to him and I shook his hand.
Oh yeah, I was like Brian, you go talk to him.
And
I'm
said to myself, you know, when if there are two things are going to happen, I'm going to talk to Chris and mention that story of Orlando. Either he's going to get so mad at me, he's going to slap me across the face and never be heard from again, or he's going to agree with it. But I took that chance. I put my livelihood in danger for you, Chris, and now we're having you here on the High Spot Podcast. You know, at the end of the day, it was all worth it, man.
And I didn't have to smack you.
Yeah, you didn't
it's
have to smack
thing.
Me.
Well, I mean, I would have liked
this Saturday. I don't know what's going to happen.
I would have liked the black guy, you know, if for my personal sake. But no.
Wow, I mean, both of you guys have turned on me now. That's pretty. It's pretty bad for both of you. Jesus. All right. Free.
Well,
you guys want to talk? Go ahead, talk with each other. Fine. You know what, Chris? You are now on the High Spot Podcast list.
Oh no, you did it.
oh God.
So do you follow with the current storylines?
I try to keep up.
My thing with you, Chris, is it frustrating from a fan's perspective? Because you're a fan at heart, right? When I look at the current product right now, and again, maybe you're not following as much as Jeff and I do, because we have to, unfortunately.
Sometimes money it's unfortunate. Out of this, man.
Yeah, sometimes it's unfortunate, depending on what we have to talk about. But is it frustrating for you in terms of, is the booking standpoint, in terms of how people are positioned, is that more concerning now, you think, with people? With like fans watching today, is like, oh no, this guy should go over, or is it more of just, you know, people are impatient a little bit and be like, you know, let it play out for itself and then be the judge of it. Do you notice that type of dynamic? Are you part of that?
I think there's both. I think there's a little bit of both of that. It's, they're pushing extremely hard for Roman to be over with the crowd, and it's almost like, why don't you guys take a second and let the fans breathe it in before you just throw it down their throats? And it's like every single week, it's like Roman, Roman, Roman. I mean, I don't know. There was a point like last year when like they were booking like 6-man matches and 8-man matches every single week on Raw. It's like, oh my God, it's the same thing. And everyone's like, this is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and then he's either going to win by the finisher, or the other guy's going to win by a roll because somebody got distracted. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing with them? Like, give them a chance to work. You have 3 hours. When it was a 2-hour program in the 90s and the 2000s, everyone got their chance. Everyone was able to work, and they booked things correctly. I'm not saying they're booking things wrong now, but sometimes it's just like a little bit too much, and too much in a sense of they're not doing enough. Like, they're just throwing things together just for the sake of throwing it out there. And it's a little frustrating at times, but I'm not frustrated. I'm frustrated because I'm not there.
No, of course.
What I'm more frustrated about.
Well, of course, you're not there, Chris. Of course, we definitely understand that. And, you know, watching the ring, they'd be fools not to. And that's not me just kissing your butt. You definitely have something to offer. At least I feel so. But again, my opinion might not matter that much to them. But
Not yet,
at least. But my thing is, talking about the booking too, do you feel like also it's too scripted? Like, for example, when you go out there and do a promo, you go out there, you obviously collaborate it with either the promoter or a couple of your friends, or even you write something down, jot down, and get your point across. Do you feel right now that's also a big hindrance in terms of the business when you watch a brand which you want to go to, like WWE? If they went up there, would you feel like maybe you're not able to speak your mind or say what you want to do in terms of a character standpoint?
I think if the people that get the chance to talk on television, were able to say more of what they wanted to say, it would have come off so scripted. But some of these guys say everything verbatim from what was written down on a piece of paper. It just looks like bad acting sometimes. It looks like, here, say this, every single thing that's on this page. Like, I had a good day today, period.
I think that's Roman's
like,
problem.
You can't believe that. You can't believe that when somebody's telling you to go out there and say this directly. I'm not saying that like Stone Cold and The Rock and Triple H didn't have stuff given to them, but at the same time, they made it their own, and that's what helped them get over with the crowd because they put their spin on it. They put their character into it, so it was much more believable.
nowadays it's like I don't believe what some of these guys are saying. I don't understand. Like, it's just so like mind blowing to me, like, that they could just write something down and they go say this verbatim, and then like I'm supposed to react to that? Like, there was no passion behind it on the delivery.
Being a wrestler, you want like bullet points, and then you can work off of that. And I think that's what's missing.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Give me some bullet points. Tell me what I got to cover. I'll get that. But let me be me. But I guess
I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it a little bit differently, and I don't know if other wrestlers look at it this way. But just lost another point.
But is that the same census you get when you talk with your other friends, like your other performers, when you guys talk about the business the way you do? I'm sure WWE is always a main topic. Oh, did you catch the show last week? Or did you see this? I mean, is that the census you get from everybody?
Somebody will be like, yeah, that was crap, or wow, that was great. And it's always one or the other. It wasn't like, it was okay. Or, no, it was good, but they could do this different or that different. It's like they either agree with it totally, or it's like it was the total shit.
How are your promo skills? How would you feel you are on par with the promo skills? You're a heel. You want to draw heat. How would you say your promo skills are on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to be completely honest. I'll tell you right now, they're probably a 3. And yeah. I say that because not that I can't talk. I know I can talk. All day long, everyone's like, oh, why don't you do TV? Or why aren't you in WWE? And I'm like, oh, yeah, because it's that fucking easy. I think that, like I said earlier, my character not being able to go into it 110%, it hinders me from being myself. So if I can't be myself, it's going to come off like shit. And if I don't have bullet points of my own to work off of because I'm having a difficult time getting that character where I'm not putting myself at risk, then it's going to come off like shit. But if I had something where I can absolutely bite my teeth into, I think I can knock it out of the park. Another reason why I feel like I was meant to be a wrestler and be in entertainment, because I feel like I can entertain people and make people laugh or make people sad or
make people want to jump that rail.
Yeah, like
Have you talked to Pat about getting like, you know, just maybe like 15 seconds before your opponent comes out and diss the town of Rahway or diss Sayreville or wherever you're at? Like, you feel that's where you're headed? You know, maybe you give me like 15 seconds. Has that come up in conversation?
It hasn't, only because it's something with me that I haven't like figured out yet of what I want to say, how I want to say it without putting it together for myself right now where it doesn't come off scripted. I'd rather not talk. I'd rather not talk and make it look like shit than say something and look like a fool.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, Jeff brought up a good point, and I understand your perspective too. I mean, if you're not wanting to do something because you feel it's not at par to your standards, then I don't want to say it at all and just let your work, which has been from this point on stellar completely, and we're huge supporters of the work that you do in the ring, which you'll do this Saturday too at WrestlePro with against Moose and basically jump circles around him. But for me, I'm always curious too, with every certain performer that's out there, I always see, okay, I see them for what they are when I see them in the ring. But at least maybe my weird mind, and Jeff probably could attest to this,
it's a very weird mind, Chris.
It is a very weird mind. I always think of what's the evolution of this character. Where is it going? Although the fact that I am appreciating what I'm currently seeing, I mean, for you, I'm sure you think about this all the time, right? What's for you the evolution of Chris Payne, the character?
Well, by nature, and this is what I've been told, this is not me saying this, so do not quote me. Or quote me, but don't, I didn't say it. If that makes any sense. I'm witty, I'm funny, I can make people laugh, but I can also be a douchebag at the same time. That is what I plan on showing in 2017.
Awesome.
I'm not giving away any hints or anything like that, but that is what I'm expecting from myself and to show the crowds and fans in 2017. A different side of me that you really haven't seen. You may have seen it at the gimmick table because that's just me. So what the fuck? Why not go with just me? So you might see that soon.
And just want to play a word association. We're going to give you one name, just one name. We won't really put pressure on you, but in one word, give me a description of Dave Destruction.
Overdramatic.
You think?
No, no. Dave,
ding, 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 and Chris Payne wins the prize.
Nah, Dave is great. Dave is a very good dude, good brother. Definitely glad I met him in this business. We had a ton of fun down in Florida together. Dave's definitely a good dude, and he's got a lot of things going well for him, too. You know, he's put down, he's put the boots away and he's picked up the microphone and he's just fucking knocking it out of the park right now. So nothing but continued success for him, man. He's a really good dude.
The conversations you've had with Dave, though, Chris, you don't have to relay anything, but are those boots away for good, do you think, with Dave?
Oh, yeah.
We've spoken to Dave before, and it kind of, he doesn't really kind of give us an answer, but from you spending so much time with him, do you think those boots are away? Or is it like this business says, never say never?
I would like to say that, yeah, never say never. I'll say that, never say never. Because apparently he's been getting in the ring a lot. And either getting hit or hitting somebody. So I wouldn't say that they're totally stored away.
He told me he had something up his sleeve tomorrow, Saturday, so I don't know.
Oh, God. I don't even want to know. I wouldn't be surprised just like everybody else.
I think, you know, listen, man, we checked it out because we got to know Dave and heck of a guy, and then we checked out Russell Pro. Again, really floored it just the way you guys run things over there. The matches are great. And so, hopefully, you know, we get to see Chris Payne, that, you know, the other side, the mic skills work. Because, like I said, this, dude, you're going to go to WWE, you know, you're going to bust your butt, you're going to do everything you want in the ring, but, you know, that promo class is going to be, you know, a difficult if you know, you don't, you know, bring out, you know, that personality.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. And the microphone is that's all on me. It's because I just haven't felt comfortable in the character that I portrayed with. And you know, that's one of those things where, like, until you find your niche, you're not going to be good at it. So, I mean, you can go down the laundry list of people that were in WWF, WWE, Impact that just haven't found it. And then all of a sudden, one day, they like just changed it up and took off running.
Maybe I'm just being naive here, guys, but I'm always the believer too. Like, we look at the greats that we've all admired. You've admired Chris, Jeff, myself. I always feel like even talking to like a Macho Man Randy Savage, I think a lot of those characters, and you're quite a character yourself, Chris, just talking to you and having a great time discussing wrestling and finding out about you, and obviously promoting WrestlePro. It's going to happen April 29th in Sayreville, New Jersey. I think some of the best characters, including yourself, Chris, would be just being yourself with the volume turned up really high. Has that crossed your mind? Hey, I'm just going to be who I am, but I'm just going to be that times 100.
Absolutely, and it's been said to me several times before. And it's been said to me several times before as of late. So I get the question, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? And I'm like, well, when I'm looking for characters, why hasn't anybody said, why aren't you doing this? No one's ever said it. So I'm just going to take the initiative upon myself, and I'll see what I come up with.
I could see Chris doing what the Drifter did in NXT, where you just come out in a lucha mask and you'll get over it.
I think he's. I think
that works for him.
Heel heat is over, but I would just say, you people in Rahway, New Jersey, you should be thankful that a guy like of my stature is performing in front of you. Jeff. Just drop the mic, and you know,
I'll drop the mic on Jeff. I'm sorry to hear that, Chris. I really apologize.
No,
for that.
They're just all white promo. Trash Walmart stock boys.
Well, now he's getting fired up again, Chris. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Looking forward to seeing.
No,
you.
No, thank you for having me on.
No, the pleasure is all ours, man. Like I said, we looked at you. I spoke to you. I even tweeted a picture before, you know, Chris, after the picture, slapped me across the face for even taking the picture. you know, that he's a superior athlete. To me, you know, even at 35, I don't care what they say. You are a future WWE superstar. I don't know. But you are part of the future in terms of what us as wrestling fans enjoy. So I can't wait to see how your career progresses. Jeff and I would love to obviously document it as it happens, as well as having you on the show again, because we're having just so much time talking to you and so much fun discussing all this stuff, and hopefully it won't be the last time. But again, guys, if you want to catch Chris Payne, catch him at WrestlePro April 29th, Sayreville, New Jersey, going against Moose. You know, signings will be at
Moose.
Bell time 8 p.m. Chris, obviously, we can catch you on Twitter at Chris at House of C Pain. Anything else coming in your future? Any future bookings or stuff you want to promote right now on the show?
I got some stuff coming up. Nothing match wise is set in stone, but looks like Five Borough Wrestling is bringing me on in June.
Nice.
I just did Maryland Championship Wrestling this past Saturday. They're looking to bring me back in And then, you know, hopefully other places like up in this area, like Tier 1 and Battle Club, they're talking about bringing me back in June, July. So, you know, just stay tuned and we'll see what happens.
Summer of Pain, that's what we're going to call it.
It's going to be the Summer of Pain, man. Seriously, I'm going to be so summer of pain. Sore.
You just gave me a t-shirt idea.
There you go. There you go. Summer of Pain.
Hey, we'll give it to you, man. We'll give it to you.
That one's on the house. Next one.
Especially when you're
starting
to headline WrestleMania and starting to headline W events, you know, just remember who gave you those shirts.
Hey, how was that? How was that? How was watching WrestleMania in that cramped up hotel room?
Oh, my God. You guys want to talk about a fucking nightmare. Holy shit. Wes Craven couldn't have dreamt that up.
Oh, that was awesome hearing Dave's side of it and stuff like that. You guys were so indecisive, yeah, and then you guys ended
good
up
good times are good dudes, but eight Neanderthals sharing a room with two doubles and a fucking set of bunk beds and a beanbag chair. That's a little rough.
Ah, memories. Wonderful memories. Because yeah. Y'all can laugh about it to the end.
And I do it all over again.
Yeah, minus the license, minus the carry-on, and definitely glad at least you didn't get overbooked. That's probably the best thing.
Yeah, right.
Chris, man, tons of fun, man. We'll be there. We'll stop by, say hello. Hopefully you don't slap us in the face. And, you know, just the best of luck against Moose. Moose, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Thanks, brother.
Just say that. You're going to get
your
ass
kicked.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate it. And we will.
I'm going to bring the baby powder. Don't worry about it.
All right. Awesome. And we'll definitely see you down the road. Thank you so much, man.
All right, brother. See you guys later.
And that was Chris Payne, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can catch him on Twitter, at House of C Payne. He will be performing this Saturday, April 29th, in Sayreville, New Jersey, at Russell Pro at the Starland Ballroom. If you guys haven't got tickets yet, they're about $20. You can't beat that price. Signings will start around 6 p.m. Eastern time, bell time around 8
p.m. Yeah, DDP will be there.
DDP, WWE Hall of Famer. But again, I'm looking forward to Chris's match more than anything, and I'm not just being a homer here. I just think it's going to be good in terms of the type of athlete he is. Working with a guy like Moose, got potential there to steal a show that night. So looking forward to that as well. So guys, make your way over there. The Jersey Wrecking Crew will be there. We won't be signing autographs. We'd love to meet the guys in the crowd that listen to our show, which you guys can catch on Twitter at High Spout Podcast. Jeff, just great time with Chris.
I mean, listen, we weren't going to bore you this week with the mundaneness of what Raw and SmackDown were. We were like trying to think about what we're going to do here and how we're going to give you a game plan. And let's be honest, the way everything's going on Raw, SmackDown, and you know, we just need to take a break because it's just not coming up to par. We're not very, you know, we're not satisfied with the way the product is going. We'll see if things, you know, happen after Payback, if things get cleaned up, because we know that the shaking things up with the roster may have had to do something with storylines, but we're not satisfied.
So
everyone's talked about it. We're already towards the end of the week, and we're going to start off, you know, on a positive. So 2-for-1 from the High Spot Podcast here. We're really generating great shows for you guys. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. You know what? Subscribe to our show on iTunes. We're on iTunes, guys. Take a listen. We have some great shows. We have Carly Perez. We've got Chris Payne. We have Barry Blaustein from last week. You also had Marty Elias from Lucha Underground. So we're really giving you good content. So just follow, subscribe, and leave a comment. Leave a 5-star rating, whatever rating you want to give us. Also leave a comment. That helps us a lot. So, you know, get on there. Start getting on the High Spot Podcast bandwagon. And because, you know, we're really, really making that effort to give you guys the best quality show from two wrestling fans who really love this business and just love talking to everyone about their stories and about their goals and all their achievements.
Definitely. You wouldn't expect anything less from us, the Jersey Wrecking Crew. So for that, been another successful episode of the High Spot Podcast. Again, guys, you can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. Thanks goes out to Chris Payne on Twitter as well, at House of C Payne. Also, thanks to Carly Perez as well. You can catch her at Carly Leanne as well as Instagram as well. Just a plethora, Jeff, of guests we've had on the show, and couldn't be asked for anything more.
And next week, though, we will recap Payback. Well, you know, you guys know the story. Again, it's something that, you know what, we'll leave it for next week because we'll recap it with hopefully Aaron Rift, and he will join us to recap that. So lots to do, but you guys are listening to the Jersey Wrecking Crew High Spot Podcast, and this episode with Chris Payne has been nothing but just
too sweet.